Let's get right to analysis of that attack and bloody standoff at Iran's parliament building and the shrine to the country's revolutionary leader Ayatollah Khomeini today. At least 12 people killed. Iran's Tasnim news agency saying 4 assailants are now dead. ISIS claiming responsibility. If that claim is true, this would be the first time Iran has been attacked by the extremist group. Kareem Sajjadpour is senior fellow at the Middle East program of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. He joins us from Washington. And Kareem, we know Iran, largely Shiite, ISIS, a Sunni extremist group. Iran has been fighting ISIS, but in other countries like Syria. So what do you see as the significance of this breach of security, ISIS in Iran?
Well, it is significant in that over the last years, Iran had been immune to the conflicts in the Middle East, whether in Syria, Iraq, or Yemen. And this is a major breach of security in Tehran. I think what's dangerous about this is that for years, Iran has basically said that Saudi Arabia is responsible for ISIS. And today they've held not only ISIS responsible for the attack, but Saudi Arabia. And so it remains to be seen how Iran will plan to retaliate if they plan to try to directly retaliate against Saudi Arabia.
That was going to be our next question. Iranians think ISIS is sponsored by Saudi Arabia. Will they see this as a direct attack by the Saudis?
Again, they have articulated that this is a direct attack by Saudi Arabia. And in the last few weeks, Saudi officials had warned Iran that the conflicts which they're helping to fuel in the Middle East are going to come back to haunt them in Iran. Up until now, it's just been a proxy war between Iran and Saudi Arabia and Syria, Yemen, Iraq, to a lesser extent in Bahrain and Lebanon. But basically, this kind of broader civilizational rivalry between Arabs and Persians, Sunnis and Shiites has only been exacerbated by this attack.
Yeah. And just talk a little bit more about ISIS security, rather Iranian security, because ISIS didn't just get into Iran. ISIS fighters stayed in the parliament building and at that shrine for hours. One fighter reportedly left the parliament building, shot up the streets, and then went back in. That is not looking good for Iranian security.
Well, it is remarkable that a group of ISIS fighters could smuggle AK-47s through security and into Iran's parliament building. It is a major breach. And I think, as you alluded to earlier, Iran is a country which is about 90% Shiite Muslim. The city of Tehran is probably upwards of 95% Shia Muslims. So I think that they probably felt they were not immune, but the risk of ISIS attacking in Tehran was much less than, say, ISIS attacking in a Sunni country like Saudi Arabia.
Well, meanwhile, what we have you, and staying in the region, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, Egypt, and the United Arab Emirates all cut diplomatic relations with Qatar on Monday, reportedly over Qatar's financing of the Muslim Brotherhood, which Egypt and others consider a terrorist group, others consider it a political party. But today, CNN is reporting that U.S. investigators think Russian hackers planted a fake news report that prompted those allies to sever relations with Qatar. What do you make of that?
Well, I'm reminded of the great quote from Churchill, who once said that a lie can get halfway around the world before the truth can even pull up its pants. Mm-hmm. And these days, you know, the proliferation of news and fake news at such a rapid rate, it's difficult to discern what's true and what's not. I have heard accounts from cybersecurity experts who've said that in the last few weeks they saw evidence of Qatari attempts to hack the UAE. But what I would say about the broader relationship between Iran and Qatar is that what's unique about the Iran-Qatar relationship, as opposed to, say, Iran and Saudi Arabia, is that Qatar and Iran share a major gas field, which is the main source of Qatar's revenue. So it's much more difficult for a country like Qatar to be antagonistic toward Iran than, say, Saudi Arabia, because their livelihood, their revenue really depends on a cooperative working relationship with Tehran.
Meanwhile, Qatar is also home to U.S. troops on bases there. And President Trump, in a tweet, took credit for the Saudis and the others breaking relations with Qatar, which struck some people as odd, because the U.S. has relations with Qatar and troops on the ground. Your take on that?
Well, I think Trump's tweet was very dangerous. The last thing we need in the Middle East is to be fomenting more regional conflicts, especially between countries which have for years have been aligned with one another and shared the same interests, like the countries of the Persian Gulf. I do think that this is, you know, this is an internal spat between the GCC countries and U.S. interests. U.S. has a major base, as you said, in Qatar. General Mattis, the Secretary of Defense, has been based in Qatar. Secretary of State Tillerson, in his previous life as CEO of Exxon, did a lot of dealings with Qatar. And so it is, I think, essential that we try to resolve these regional issues rather than exacerbate them.
Karim Sajidpour, thank you.
Thank you.